great singing. Take your Bibles, if you will. We'll be in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 5. We'll start in verse number 1 and read down to verse number 11. We'll read responsibly. I'll read the odd verses, if you'll read the even verses. And we'll pause at any punctuation. The book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 5, 1 through 11. You'll read the odd verses, or you read the even verses, I'll read the odd verses. We'll start there in verse number 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much, God, for you. Lord, I thank you for the Heavenly Father we get to serve. Thank you, Lord, that we woke up today. And Lord, you were there. Thank you, Lord, for the mercies, the compassions that you give us every morning. I ask you, please be with us now. Would you just be with Pastor as he preaches? Be with us as we listen. Keep the distractions away. And Lord, help our hearts to be open for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Many call the little passage that we just read the Beatitudes. I'll be honest with you, I have no idea who has termed that and why they termed it that way. I'm not saying it's something that's bad, but the word beatitude is not found anywhere in the scripture. It's just one of those things that people accept. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. And I believe the first 12 verses or so, 11, 12 verses, are the introduction to the sermon. The sermon that Jesus was preaching. Now, listen to me very carefully here. America and Americans, and sad to say, Christians, have gotten into a welfare mindset. People think because they have a need or a desire that everyone else is obligated to fill that need or desire. Miss B has been answering the phone some, and she's finding out people want us to pay their bills. Every week we get phone calls. Will you pay our electric bill? Will you pay our rent? Will you pay this? Will you pay that? And churches have become an extension of welfare. Well, just so you know, we don't pay it. We got our own bills to pay around here. We can't pay everybody else's bills. People are so arrogant as to blame God if they don't get what they want and don't get it when they want it. How dare we treat God like he's a genie in the bottle? Rub the bottle, he comes out, let me grant your request, and here we go. That's not what God's there for. I'm going to make a statement, it's a little bit harsh, but who do we think we are? We're the sinners, he's God. Who do we actually think we are telling God what he has to do to bless us? What makes us think we deserve a problem-free life? Everybody doing okay? Hang on. We get so arrogant in our Christianity, we think we don't deserve problems. Tell that one to Jesus. We're sinners. We live in a world filled with sinners. And none of us are good enough to live without problems related to our sin or somebody else's. Everybody doing okay? Do you really think you deserve a life that has no problems? Why does it seem like some people get blessings and others appear not to get maybe blessed as much? Have you ever noticed that? Why does it seem like God has favorites? How do we live getting the blessings of God? I'm going to share a truth with you tonight that could revolutionize your life. And it's not going to go the direction you think it's going to go, I promise you. But how do we live being blessed? Point number one. You ready? Blessings come because there's need or opposition. Blessings come because there's a need or there's an opposition. Look at Matthew chapter 5. None of the things in the first 11 verses are real good. Look at verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Does that sound like somebody that's having a good day? Notice the word blessed. That means blessing. Look at verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn. Does that sound like somebody's having a good time? Mourning comes because of death. Blessed are the meek, verse 5. Meekness means strength under control. That means things aren't going real strong, but you got to hold yourself back because you're about to blow it. Verse 6, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. Does that sound like it's a good day? No man wants to be hungry or thirsty. I mean, if he goes more than 2.5 hours without food, he's going to die. Blessed are the merciful. Do you know what mercy is? Mercy is when you're getting judgment cast upon you and punishment. Blessed are the pure in heart. That means there's impurity all around. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now look at me. To be a peacemaker means what? There's conflict going on all around you. Now do anyone, and lastly, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We obviously know that one's not healthy. Now look at me. God said people going through these problems are the ones who get blessed. For you to get blessed, you're going to face opposition. For you to get blessed, you're going to have a time of need. So, I don't think I should ever have a time of need, then you're never going to have a blessing from God. Am I doing okay? You may not see someone's battle, but if they're getting blessed, they got a battle going on. Well, I didn't see what they were fighting. You're not God. Stay out of their business. I'm just going to pull up and park for a second. I feel like a coon dog with a coon that just went up the tree. We ask too many questions of people. We want to know everybody's business way too much. Facebook and social media and phone calls, and we want to know all the gory details. Can I tell you something? Keep your nose to yourself. Just pray for somebody. Amen. You don't have to know all the details. We want to know way too much information because we think if we know it, then we really are somebody and you're losing your blessing because of it. Everybody doing okay? You may not see the battle somebody's going through, but you see a blessing, they've had to go through a battle to get it. When we were building this building and working on our property here, oh my soul, you talk about a preacher that lived by faith. We were living by faith. Amen, Mrs. Barnes. There were days I didn't want to come to work. I didn't know how we were going to make it another day. And all of a sudden, God would answer. And I could breathe. And I'm thinking, here comes another one. Here comes another one. And then I helped another church and they started building. And he calls me one day. He said, "Preacher," he said, "God just gave me $150,000. Thinking, I needed 25 really bad today. That was my flesh. But what did I do? I rejoiced with him. Because I remembered the money God gave us when we needed it most. And I didn't say anything about my piddly and little need. I just rejoiced with him over what God did. I didn't go to God and say, "Okay, God, since you're in a giving mood, could you give some to us too?" No, I spent time thanking God that my friend was able to get what they needed to keep the work going where they were at, to get their building going so that they could be as excited as we were. Amen. Wouldn't you know within hours to days what we needed came in? Yeah. Say what? Because you have to go through the battle to get a blessing. Amen. God blesses whether we see it or not. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Look at verse number 20. Psalm 66, look at verse number 20. "Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." See, when I pray, preacher, and I just like I'm talking to the ceiling and God's not there. No, God heard it. Look at chapter 68, verse 19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation," Selah. Notice the first word there, blessed. God loads us with benefits every day. Say, "Preacher, God didn't give me a blessing today. I bet you if I went to your house today, after church tonight, I could open up the kitchen cupboards and find lots of blessings in there. Amen. Bet you if we pulled the refrigerator open, we could find blessings in there. Amen. And the freezer or freezers and find lots of blessings in there. The closets and the dresser drawers, and you got enough clothes to put on for tomorrow, I bet you we could find some blessings in there." God daily loadeth us with blessings. Amen. Maybe if we'd start thanking him for what we have every day, he could load a little bit more on your plate. You know, you watch Brother Lopez go through the men's prayer breakfast line. I never saw a human being could put more food on a plate than Brother Joe. Amen. He daily loadeth at that thing, man. He gets it once a month and he piles a month on there, let me tell you. Now, wait a minute, that's what God says, but you can't put any more on the plate till you empty the plate. Amen, Brother Joe? So that's why he goes up for round two. You see, you have to understand something. Once it's loaded, you got to use it for God to load it back up. If we don't use it, what good is it? There's more to life than collecting things. Yes, sir. I'm not against your little collections that you have. But the average human being, they're trying to collect money in a bank account, houses and cars and things, and at the end of their life, hopefully they've collected enough that where they think they've been successful. There's more to life than collecting things. I hate to tell you, but most of the things you've collected, when you're dead and gone, your family's going to have a 30-yard dumpster pull up and throw it all in. Amen? I've done that several times with different folks. Brother Fred, amen? He had newspapers from the 1950s piled up. Oh, my soul, there was everything in the world. I think that man kept every piece of paper he ever owned in his life. He had a garage the size of our auditorium that was packed. You couldn't get in. I think we did 4 dumpster loads. And I don't know how many dumpster loads we burnt. Amen, Brother Barnes. I mean, I think that fire's still burning 3 years later. You say, what is it? God daily loadeth us with benefits. Maybe if you took time every day, you get to work tomorrow, thank him for getting you there on time and getting you there safely. Thank him that you have a job to go to. Amen. You know, think of how many blessings you pass by every day and never even acknowledge it. You didn't have to sleep in a cardboard box last night. You didn't have to go to the dumpster behind the restaurant and dig food out of the dumpster to eat last night. Maybe we ought to take time to thank God for the daily benefits we enjoy.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? There's no need for a blessing if there's no opposition. There's no need for a blessing if there's no opposition. Number two, God blesses our obedience to truth, not our desires or asking for a need. Now, this is the truth I want you to fully get tonight. God blesses our obedience to truth, not our request for a desire or a need. Just because you have a need, God's not obligated to fill it. Just because you have a desire, God's not obligated to fill it. I love my wife. I like to supply her needs. I really like supplying her desires. But if I don't stop becoming her husband. Am I doing okay? Just because God can't or won't does not mean that he hates you. Now listen to me very carefully here. God's promises are unconditional. The promises of God are unconditional. That means this, you can't change it for anything. God loves you whether you love him or not. Nah, 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 nah. If a person gets saved, they can't die and go to hell even if they wanted to.
Amen.
It's like saying you've been born, but you want to be unborn. Guess what? You can't be unborn. You can die, but you can't be unborn. So the promises of God are unconditional. They're going to happen whether you want them to or not.
Yes,
but God's blessings are conditional based on our obedience to truth. God's promises, unconditional. God's blessings, conditional on our obedience. God is only going to bless those who obey. Now, there are times he'll bless you to get you to obey, baby. But he's not rewarding you for your disobedience. Let me show you what I mean. Turn to, you're in Matthew chapter 5. Go back to Malachi chapter 3, just a few pages back. Malachi chapter 3. Look at verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yea, yet you rob me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Wherein? It tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even the whole nation. Watch this. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That doesn't say send it electronically because the church takes it out of your checking account automatically. Then say come and get the ATM machine at the church and put it into the... No, it says bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a what?
Blessing.
Huh. And there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now look at me for a second. God said, him opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing come in response to our obedience to tithing. If you tithe, conditional. Here comes the blessing. How will he bless us? Let's keep reading. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, he's going to make you more productive, more prosperous. He's going to keep things from breaking down. He's going to give you better deals. Amen, Brother Patrick. In our obedience, God brings blessing because of our obedience to a truth. You want to live with the blessing of God? Live obeying the Bible. That's all there is to it. I'm not saying tithing is the only one. I've got other verses. Hang on. But what I'm saying is God's blessing is based on our obedience to the command to tithe. As we do it, God blesses. He didn't say that it was going to come the day after we tithe. It's not your job to tell God when he has to bless you. I've had many wealthy friends, Dr. Anderson, Brother Jim Bossy, others, Stuart McMillan, and others. I've never told them what they need to give me. Matter of fact, most of the time I tell them I don't need anything. If God put something on their heart, they do it, because I ain't telling them what I need. I have a man who's a billionaire that said, he said, what's your church need? I said, I don't tell anybody but God. He said, come on now. I want to help. Tell me what I can. I said, you're going to take it up with God. I said, I don't tell anybody. I said, if God wants you to do something, he'll tell you what to give my church. Amen. I could have told him I needed $500,000. He'd have wrote a check for it. But I'm not going to. Say why? Because God knows what we need better than I know what we need. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 28. All the way back to Proverbs chapter 28. That's good stuff, by the way, just so you know. You might not like it, but it's going to help you. Point number 3 is not going to be a fun one either, just so you know. Proverbs chapter 28, look at verse number 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall be innocent. Instead of your get rich quick schemes, how about we just be faithful? Isn't it amazing? Yeah, help me for a second here. And I'm not saying this to be critical of anybody, and I have no person's face in my mind at all. But people who come to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church, they're more apt to get blessings than people that just come on Sunday morning only. Right. Say what? A faithful man shall abound with blessing. You come here 4 truths a week, and you start obeying 4 truths a week instead of hearing 1 truth, and maybe obeying part of that truth every once in a while, God can bless the obedience to more truth. Amen. And the more truth you hear and the more truth you obey, the more blessings God can give you. It's not about an attendance at church. It's about a truth that you can learn to obey. And the more you obey the truth, the more God blesses your life. Amen. Yes, sir. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. People who utilize justice get blessings. I believe God protected President Trump a week ago. Yes, sir. Can I tell you why? He's been just. I didn't say agree with everything, but he's been just. He's been unjustly treated and has treated America justly.
Yes, sir. That's right.
He's invested his life and his business acumen back into the American economy because he loves this country. Everybody doing okay? Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Look at verse number 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Boys and girls, parents, teenagers, you want to live with the blessing of God on your life? Keep his ways.
Amen.
You want to live with God blessing your life? Obey the commands of the scripture, whether you want to or not. Parents, you want your children to be blessed by God, obey the Bible. Make your children obey the Bible. You mean make them? Yeah, make them. Everybody doing all right? Look at Psalm 115. I better move on. Psalm 115, look at verse number 13. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. God says, they that fear the Lord, God will bless them, both small and great. That means this, boys and girls that fear the Lord can get the blessing of God. If you go back to the book of 1 Samuel, there's a young boy, probably 4, 5, 6 years old, and the child Samuel ministered before the Lord and Eli the priest. And God came and talked to a 4 or 5-year-old boy because he was doing the job that the men were supposed to be doing. And the Bible says that Samuel ministered before the Lord.
Amen.
As a child. Everybody doing okay? God blessed him.
Yes, sir.
God allowed Samuel to do an awful lot of things in life. He anointed 2 kings, the first 2 kings of Israel. Samuel also had sons that were worthless and helped destroy the kingdom. But Samuel was a good man. Everybody doing okay? I didn't say everything in his life was good, but God bless Samuel. Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse number 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. Can I tell you something? The more you obey him and the more you seek him, the more God can bless you.
Amen.
I had somebody, and I'm not telling you who it was, and if you're that one, don't cackle too loud because everybody will know. I had somebody this morning come in. They said, "Preacher, I need to see you after church this morning." I said, "No problem." As they were walking out, I said, "Did you still need to see me?" They said, "Nope, point number so-and-so in your sermon this morning took care of it." That blessed my heart. I didn't know what the problem was to start with, and I still don't know what it is, and I ain't asking. Say why? They got blessed because of their obedience to be here. God gave the blessing they were looking for by their obedience, and God said, "Here you go." Boy, that's good stuff. Our obedience to truth opens God's pantry of blessings. You'll go home tonight and open the pantry to find out what you're going to chew on before you go to bed. Got a lot of selection there. Can I tell you something? Your obedience to God opens up his pantry to see what he's going to give you. The more we obey, the more opportunity God has to bless us. Listen to this. The more you obey, the more opportunities God has to bless you.
Amen.
You don't go soul winning just to see people get saved. You go soul winning to obey God.
Amen.
You pass out tracts and witness for the Lord. Get the gospel out because God commanded it. When we do, and the more we do it, the more God blesses.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. The size of the need is not what moves God. The amount of obedience we have is what God responds to. The size of the need does not matter to God. Do you know the biggest need you have in your life isn't even a blip on God's screen? A billionaire, Elon Musk, he makes billions of dollars yearly. Do you know if there was $1,000 sitting on the sidewalk, it would cost him more money to bend down and pick it up and put it in his pocket than it would to keep on walking? He makes so much money, it would cause him more money to stop and pick it up than it would to keep on going. But yet you, if you had that $1,000, you sure could do a lot with it. Some of you'd waste it and not pay your debts. The size of what we need doesn't move God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills and the gold in them hills. He owns the globe on which those hills sit. Amen. He owns the universe on which the globe is in. Amen. There's not a need you have that's even remotely large to God. So it's not the size of the need that moves him. It is the amount of our obedience that moves God to bless us. Here we go. You ready? I love you. So many blessings are not gotten because we spend all our time begging and so little time obeying. We spend more time asking God for a blessing than we do going out and obeying him. If I have a need, I tell God what the need is, and I spend more time serving him and trying to help and more time obeying. It's time to do more soul winning, not less. It's not time to pray more, it's time to work more. Everybody doing okay? It's time to serve more, not beg more. If these people that didn't have a job would get busy looking for a job and trying to figure out how to make work, we wouldn't have to pay welfare. And I was talking about the politicians, by the way. We spend so much time begging God for a blessing. Do you know you don't ask for a blessing? We want God to bless without us doing any obeying. That's called welfare. It kind of makes me a little upset when I go to the grocery store. That's why I don't go very often. These people are using their welfare card and they're eating better than I am. The last time I saw that, I told somebody, I said, "You're welcome." They said, "For what?" I said, "For buying your groceries." "You didn't buy it. I'm on welfare." I said, "Yeah, I work. I pay taxes so you can eat that." I said, "I'm glad you're eating better than me." "Preacher, I don't think you ought to say that." "Then don't say it, but I enjoyed it." Too many of us want to live for a handout. October comes. Mrs. Barnes and I start cringing. Because the phone's going to ring. "What are you going to give us for Thanksgiving? Does your church provide food for Thanksgiving? And are you giving things out for Christmas too?" I mean, Christmas and Thanksgiving starts in October for the beggars. Not kidding. Not kidding. Learn to ask God for the strength to endure and obey. Quit asking him for a check in the mail. How about you say, "God, would you give me the strength to do what I need to do so that I can get through this?" Maybe you'd see God work a blessing. Number three. So I said, first of all, blessings come in obedience to, that was number two. I said, first of all, blessings come because of need or opposition. Number two, God blesses our obedience to truth, not the desire or need that we have because we asked for it. Number three, obedience is a lifestyle, not an as-needed event. Now we're going to go to big boy Christianity. Kids are real good about obeying when they want something and they need something from mom and dad that they want, so they'll go clean the room. They'll be real good to get what they want. And then they're an unholy terror the rest of the time. Guess what? Let's see how they do for 2 weeks without asking before you give. Obedience is something that is to be a way of life, not an as-needed basis. Turn to Psalm 84 real quickly here. Psalm 84. Everybody doing all right? Everybody still breathing? Okay, here we go. Psalm 84, look at verse number 5. Wilt thou be angry? Oops, that's the wrong chapter. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Notice it's in his heart. Look at verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You don't get to December and make out your Christmas list and say, okay, I'm going to be good so I can get everything on my list. I hate Christmas lists. Do me a favor. If you have one, throw it away. I'm not going to look at it. See why? I don't think we ought to ask for what we want. I think we ought to bless our kids as God allows. I remember one year, my kids were starting to be teenagers and stuff. And one year I told my wife, I said, we're going to mix things up this year. She said, what? I said, I want to teach our kids something. And let's say we were going to spend $100 on each kid. I'm just throwing a number out there. I said, I want to give them the $100 the 1st of December, but they're not allowed to spend any money on themselves. They're going to buy gifts for everybody else, and they're not getting anything from us. Christmas is going to be about giving, not getting. You know, that was one of the most fun Christmases we had. I lie not. By Christmas morning, there was more stuff under our tree than I could have ever bought. Because everything my kids bought and gave away, people started bringing and giving gifts to us. And they said, but Dad, we tried to get... I said, look what God did. They had gifts to open on Christmas morning, but we didn't buy any. Say why? Because we taught them that the giving was more important than the getting. Can I tell you something? I'm not telling you to go out and do that this year. I'm not saying don't buy gifts for your kids. Please don't take it that way. I was teaching my kids a truth that I wanted them to take with them forever, and they were mature enough to understand it. You don't do that to five-year-olds. I get that. What's that? Yeah. But I didn't lie to my kids about Christmas either. I told them what it was. Now, listen to me very carefully here. You don't start obeying to get something, and then as soon as you get it, start disobeying. Obedience is to be a lifestyle, not an as-needed basis. Too many of you allow your children to get what they want just because they obeyed at the moment. God wants us to show a pattern, the Bible says, of good works or obedience. When you start getting into a lifestyle of obedience, when you obey the speed limit, whether there's an officer or not watching, can I tell you something? When you live in a pattern of obedience, the blessings come. You don't tithe one time and say, okay, God, I tithe. Where's my blessing? No, you tithe and 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 you tithe. And over time, God will give back far more than you ever gave. Far more. God will watch over the long haul to make sure we obey with or without a blessing. Now listen to me, I'm going to illustrate it, and I'm going to be pretty well done. God didn't tell Job what he was going to do to Job, what he was going to allow to happen to Job. God didn't come down and say, Job, I love you, and the devil's going to whoop up on you for a while. Hang in there, buddy. No. The devil said, yeah, God, you're not so hot. Your Christians aren't going to obey you. You cut me loose on them, and I'll get them to turn on you. He said, as thou consider my servant Job. He said, you can do what you want to him. Just don't touch him or his wife. He lost 4 businesses and all of his employees in one day. And then at the end of the day, all 10 of his kids were in the house with their spouses. Tornado came, knocked the house down, and killed all 20 of them. How'd you like to do a funeral with 20 caskets lined up? After all the employees died and were killed by the enemies and your businesses were torn apart. Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The devil said, that didn't work out like I thought. God, I could break him. You let me touch his health. Yea, skin for skin, a man will give all he hath for his health. He said, go for it. The devil strickens him with boils to the point where he's sitting in the local dump, sitting in the ashes, the heat of the ashes, taking broken clay pots and scraping the boils and popping the pus and scraping it off his skin just to find some relief. He went from the richest man in the world to sitting in the dump, scraping boils. His wife looked at him and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? His 4 friends come and look at him for 7 days straight and never say a word. 7 days they sat in his presence just looking at him. Like my dog when she cocks her head. When they did open their mouth, they said, Job, all this is your fault. God's judging you. And for the next 30-some chapters, they lambast him. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job never asked God, listen to this, Job never asked God to bless him. Job never said, God, I got a need. God already knew that. I've said this often. If God never blesses this old preacher ever again, I've been blessed far beyond what I deserve. Far beyond. But read Job chapter 42. In Job chapter 42, God comes down and says, okay, Job, you passed the test. And gave him twice as many of everything that he had before. He doubled his businesses. He gave him 10 more kids. That was his wife's punishment. I don't know if they came all at one time. I don't know, but I can tell you this. God doubled everything Job had. Say why? He didn't ask for it. He was obedient all the way through the trial. Too many blessings are missed by begging instead of obeying. Prove God with or without a blessing. Go through it and enjoy your presence and your time with him, whether he blesses it or not. Let's live like God is not our welfare provider, but our God. Let's not make God our welfare provider. Let's live a life of obedience and live a life of blessing. Say, why does it seem like some people get blessed more than others? Probably because they're obeying more than others. Because that's the key. His promises... unconditional. His blessings, they're conditional. You're going to have to go through problems. You're going to face need. You've got to obey to get it. And God wants to see that you have a pattern of obedience over the long haul, not just an as-needed basis. Do you want to live with the blessing of God? You just found out how. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. How badly do you want God to bless you? We all have needs. Maybe instead of begging so much, we ought to start obeying more. Maybe we ought to work on that obedience thing. As Brother Randy began.